Britain. Prosecuting sex offences. The hardest cases. A report highlights the failings of the police at dealing with crimes such as rape and proposes greater anonymity for suspects.
Over the past 4 years, Britain has grappled with growing evidence that some of its best-known public figures abused children and other vulnerable people for years with impunity. The police have the difficult job of investigating these decades-old crimes. A review last week of the Metropolitan Police's work suggests that they have struggled. Its recommendations about how the justice system handles rape hint at the broader problems that make handling such crimes so hard. The report, conducted by Sir Richard Henriquez, a retired judge, exoriated the capital's coppers for their handling of Operation Midland, an investigation into the claims by one man that a paedophile ring in Westminster had been responsible for the murders and abuse of children decades ago. The operation lasted more than a year, but no charges were brought. Sir Bernard Hogan Howe, the head of the Met, has apologised for his force's failings and the harm caused. Sir Richard condemned police guidelines instructing officers to believe all allegations. Officers should instead, he argued, treat complaints seriously and investigate them without fear or favour. He urged police not to disregard false accusations as a remote possibility, especially in cases of historic abuse concerning public figures. He also advocated anonymity for suspects until they are arrested, and usually until they are charged, enforced with criminal sanctions. Instructing police to believe complainants was intended to be an antidote to past problems, says Andy Higgins of the Police Foundation, a think tank. Many victims are reluctant to report rapes, fearing that they will not be believed, especially in the absence of physical injuries. Others dread the judgment of those around them or blame themselves. Officers have to encourage victims of such crimes to come forward while preserving the principle of innocent until proven guilty, says Mr. Higgins. He fears that the belief principle dumbs down the role of the police. But eliminating such language may suggest to victims that they will not be taken seriously, says David Tucker of the state-funded College of Policing. The number of recorded rapes has risen in recent years. 36,438 were reported to the police in the year to June 2016, up from 14,443 in the year to March 2006. That has been welcomed as a sign of victims being more willing to report such crimes to the police. No one wishes to reverse that trend. Most controversial are Sir Richard's recommendations about false allegations and anonymity. It is impossible to know how many accusations of rape are untrue. One review by the Ministry of Justice estimated that in 8 to 10% of instances, it proves impossible to verify that a crime took place, but also suggested that the police have an inflated sense of the number of wrongful allegations. In 2013, the Crown Prosecution Service found that between January 2011 and May 2012, there were 5,651 prosecutions for rape and 111,891 for domestic violence. There were just 35 prosecutions for making up false complaints. Wrongful allegations are not all malicious. People may back away from charges for fear of proceeding. Victims may misidentify perpetrators, particularly in cases that date back years. The uncertainty about the extent of false accusations raises doubts about their usefulness as a basis for broader policies. Nonetheless, the damage they cause is the spur for calls for anonymity for suspects. Those in favour see an unfair imbalance between the anonymity granted to victims and the spotlight faced by those falsely accused. Harvey Proctor, a former Tory MP wrongly accused of rape and murder in Operation Midland, says he is now homeless and penniless. No country offers rape defendants anonymity except Ireland, where it is withdrawn upon conviction. In 2010, the British government mooted and then dropped it. In fact, England and Wales has experimented with anonymity before. Between 1976 and 1988, those prosecuted for rape were not named. The policy was abolished after police said it hindered investigations, it hampers appeals for information, and prevents police from issuing public warnings. The debate points to two underlying problems. The first is a failure to uphold the presumption of innocence. Those acquitted of rape, or against whom charges are dropped, are by definition innocent. Many are not treated as such. The second is that those who have been raped are seen as damaged or to blame. Without such attitudes, there would be no need for anonymity for victims, says Kate Cook, a law lecturer at Manchester Metropolitan University. Removing such stigmas should be the aim, she argues, rather than extending anonymity to defendants.